His April, okay, his April Fool's joke. He tweeted out and he apologized before it gets out in the media about the DUI he got. Then later he tweeted, "Ha, I was just kidding, April Fool's." One of the things you don't joke about is getting a DUI.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah.
That's brutal. That's not good nowadays with the way athletes and other players, especially football, and I'm not just labeling them, but they've taken a lot of heat here lately, and for him to pretend and play around like that, even though it's April Fool's, that's not a good joke.
No, not at all. Now, Pete and Al, I know you guys you talk a lot of baseball on Saturdays and have a lot of fun, but for both of you, what do you see realistically as a throw out the number of wins? I'm guessing both of you don't think it'll be another 90-loss season, or do you?
Go ahead, Pete. I'm sorry.
I think we realistically talked, and I agreed with Gene, that 81 is very attainable and a great season for this club and this group. And I'm going to stick with that. Yeah, I do think they have a significant.
So 500, okay.
Year. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going into this winter. I was saying if they could get to 500, and I believe Terry Ryan and the rest of the guys in the scouting department have tried to do enough to give Paulie an opportunity to be competitive. I'd like to see them be competitive through July and the 1st of August and then see what happens after that.
Well, what do you think, Al, because you've been in baseball for most of your life. Do you think they've made enough moves with pitching by bringing in Santana and having Hughes back and some of these younger guys? I mean, Tommy Malone had a good outing today, that they might actually, the pitching could be a lot better than people think.
I believe so. Those guys that they picked up, especially Urban Santana, he's a competitor, and you saw what Hughes was capable of last year. I think the last go, he's going to get over the hump of facing nine hitters in a lineup. He should be pretty good. I think more than anything, they improved their defense. They got a little more speed. Sure, shortstop now is going to be held by Santana. I think Escobar is going to challenge Arcia out there in the left field. And you got Torrey Hunter, who is a guy who knows how to position the other outfielders. So you've got some experience. I think better defense will help your pitching staff.
Yep.
Back in 87, we had two starters, Bert Bieleven and
Frankie.
But we were one or two in defense for about 5 years. So you've got to play defense to help that pitching staff.
Now, Pete, Pete covers hockey and baseball. Are you into hockey very much?
I enjoy watching it. I've only been to probably four or five games at the XL, but I have been paying attention since I met Pete. I've been listening to him talk, and I've been watching the Wild.
Well, because what I'm getting at about it, early in the year, we all know that the Wild were left for dead, and now, you know, they've had this great, best team in the second half of the season, or at least since January 15th. I think that's the date they played Buffalo and turned things around. Now the expectation is they're going to make the playoffs, and they should do more. It's not enough to just win a first-round series. But the Twins, that's why I find it interesting. We've all lowered every expectation for the Twins. And, Pete, I think you put it how it'd be, you know, a pretty impressive season if they went 500.
Pete had a drop off.
Oh, Pete did. Okay. Well, then I'll say it to you. I mean, it's our expectations have been lowered.
It should be 500. I'll be honest with you. I think Terry Ryan would say 500. When you play 162 game schedule, it really comes down to from top to bottom 30 games. So can we split or can we make hay in that 30 game slot to be competitive? And I honestly believe Urban Santana, that was huge. He stood for 15 or 20. Hughes possibly could win 15 or 20. We would hope that Nolasco could win 10 to 15. So when you start looking at numbers like that, you should be closing in on at least 500.
And Al, you played for Tom Kelly. And, I mean, he was a terrific manager, but he was also someone you didn't, if you got along with him, was great, but not a guy you'd want to piss off.
Well, the only way you could piss him off was not to be competitive. Giving away at bats, he expected you to know your role. Tom Kelly sat in the clubhouse and played cards with us, but at the same token, he can bust our backside, and make you uncomfortable. So, he didn't do a lot of yelling. He could look at you and you knew it was time to straighten up or you weren't going to be here very long.
Yeah, the look would have been enough. But how would he have handled all the injuries that Joe Mauer's gone through?
Well, I think, and I hate to use this phrase, but the old school, I think he would have had a problem with it. I think I would have had a problem with it as a player. You know, not based off of money. It's just that you needed him in the lineup, and you were wondering why he was always out. But, you know, knowing Joe Mauer, I'm not going to say he wasn't hurt. You know, when you're dealing with concussions and, well, and some of the other elements.
Sure, the concussions are certainly another entirely different issue.
Sure, sure. But the other stuff, you know, as a player, you would hope that he could battle through it. But then again, not making excuses. I've never been a catcher. But as a fan, I wanted Joe Mauer on the field a heck of a lot more than he has been.
Okay, so that's because I was curious about that, because I know I've talked to a lot of your contemporaries or guys you played with, and they just don't get it, because these are guys that would drag themselves out, and again, concussions aside, no matter what the injury is, they were never going to say anything, and they wanted to be out there. Because, I mean,
that's true. I will commit to that. You wanted to be on the field. You played through pain. We didn't have the physical therapy and all the stuff that the players have now to try to keep them on the field. It seems as though to me, there's more days on the DL than there ever has been before, and I wonder if it's because of salaries and the owners and trainers being a lot more careful because of the monetary factor.
Well, I mean, I think there could be something to that. Now, Al, it's been almost 23 years actually, since you 1992 was your last year. Does it seem like it's been nearly a quarter of a century since you last played?
When I look at my pot belly, I say, yeah. But, you know, I was just talking about that the other day. Some of the players I started not only as a player with, but kids that I started out managing with back in 1995 are now minor league managers and instructors. So it just blows me away. But it's also fun at the same time to reminisce and be an exciting fan every time April 1st rolls around.
Yeah, that's neat. And Al, I want to tell you, well, two things. A, thank you for joining us, Al Newman. He is on every Saturday on 105 The Ticket with Pete Wagner and Gene Larkin. You catch them from 11 to noon. And Al, I just can't wait till Monday when Hellboy here, David Helmer, comes in and tells me how much more fun he had producing your show than mine, because you and Gene just light it up and are so funny.
Well, thank you. I enjoy it. And let's get some listeners to the station, because you guys do an awesome job. Ever since I heard about the station, I've had it on my radio every day.
Well, Al, thank you, and we enjoy you. We're going to try to talk to Pete about this every Wednesday. We'll have you, either you and Pete, or Gene and Pete, or all three of you on to talk some baseball and preview what you might be talking about on Saturday. Anything in particular you want to say about Saturday's show that you'll be? I'm sure you're going to be dealing with the Twins in the start of the regular season.
Well, first off, I want to say congratulations to all the young players that I had an opportunity to train this winter. They had their tryouts last week, and a lot of them were able to make the travel teams if they wanted to. So I want to say congratulations to all their hard work. But I'm saying congrats to those guys, to the players that the Twins are going to be bringing north here. I think we'll probably cover that roster and also pronosticate, or however you say that particular word.
Now you got me having trouble with it.
Yeah,
prognosticator. Prognosticator.
But, yeah, and acknowledge that the Twins should be competitive.
Very good, Al. I was trying to say procrastinator. That I think we were both hung up on the two of them. I've done plenty of that.
We've been doing that for the last 4 years.
That's right. Al Newman, thanks so much, and thanks to Pete Wagner for joining us a bit earlier. We'll be right back, and be joined by Larry Fitzgerald Sr. will join us when we return.
On Deck Radio with Pete Wagner and former Twins Gene Larkin and Al Newman.
Paul Molitor definitely is a motivator in his own way. I think Molly will be able to handle that and address it.
He played the game the right way. As great a player as he was, he's a grinder. He's a guy that grinded it day in and day out.
Yes, he did.
He didn't look so intelligent about the game. He kind of gets how tough the game is.
Tune in On Deck Radio, Saturday mornings at 11. Wall-to-wall baseball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Motown. Hopefully, our guest, Larry Fitzgerald Sr., Larry Fitzgerald, there's a junior but not a senior. We went through that before. My apologies, Larry.
No problem, Bob. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And we mentioned it earlier, but I want you to talk about it, because a week from tomorrow, the the Carol Fitzgerald Memorial Fund. Is it the 11th annual now? The 11th one, right?
Yeah, actually, it's Friday.
Next Friday.
Right.
April 10th. Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, tomorrow's Thursday. My apologies.
That's right. You can't rush to get out of this week. Huh?
Yeah, that's right. You know what, Larry, what I'm used to is this last week was our first full week after 3 weeks of just working through Wednesday, because we had the high school hockey tournament, then we had the Big Ten on Thursday and Friday, and then we had the NCAA's the first round games. So we got used to the 3 day week, so we're all thrown off. But it is a great. I ran through some of the. You raised nearly $500,000, or you gave away nearly $500,000 from the last 10 years, and that's a great thing. You did helped out a lot of groups, and well, just explain yourself at how. You know, who'll be there besides your son, Larry Fitzgerald Jr.? You got Evangela Davis, the Master of Ceremonies from the number four. But I'm sure that Larry's got quite a few other friends of his, and there'll be friends of yours and athletes that'll be there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, several players and friends that are, you know, big parts of the community we live in. They support us. You know, a lot of the Starkey people, Larry's had a good relationship with them. They're his neighbors. And others that have been important parts of Minneapolis and St. Paul, and some come from all over the country to be a part of this, because this was a real fun night. I know a number of people who obviously got to know my wife during the time that I would take her to Super Bowls and things like that that are in the media. And they come in sometimes from outside the country just to see it. I mean, Minneapolis is a great place to be, and obviously with the weather getting better every day, and it's been a big part of what I've tried to do in keeping her memory alive for what she meant to Minneapolis and St. Paul. She was a tireless worker, Carol was, working for the Minnesota Department of Health, and she had to deal with a lot of people who faced adversity, people who were fighting HIV. She was an investigator for the Minnesota Department of Health. And, you know, my boys, Marcus and Larry, you know, she got to take them and expose them to a lot of those situations. And so they were able to grow up and understand that, you know, that some people face adversity at a young age, some of the parents' children and things like that. And so she was just very, very consistent and understanding that we have to do what we can to help as many people as we can. And so, you know, breast cancer obviously took her life, and urban education is a vital part of this country. And so we've tried to put all three together and do what we can to raise money for those organizations that are fighting in those.
Well, I mean, it is a great thing that this event does. And again, it'll be next Friday night on April 10th. And Larry, I mean, I only met Carol a few times, but clearly, having met her, my opinion of you shot up. Because any woman who would put up with you had got to be one heck of a woman. You know, I have a photo. I got to find it, because when we moved, I came across it, and I got to remember, I put it someplace where I wouldn't lose it. If you remember, at the Super Bowl, they had the Friday, you know, the big commissioner's thing. I have a picture of Carol and my wife. And the guy in between them was the Reverend Jesse Jackson. Do you remember that photo?
Absolutely. I still have that photo. Yeah, that was a great photo.
It was. Mary loved it. I loved it. I mean, it was just a great night and a great shot. I think I know where I got to look for it, because I'm sure that I know where I put it. I put it someplace where I wouldn't lose it. Not lost, but not sure what box it's in. So
yeah, I got to you know, take her to some Super Bowls, and that was a lot of fun for her, because as you know, back in the day, the commissioner used to have this big bash on Friday, and boy, I tell you, that was the party you would want to go to.
Yep.
If you weren't going to the Super Bowl, you certainly had to go to the commissioner's party on Friday.
Do they do that anymore? Because I have no idea.
Yeah, they do, but it's they pretty much lock the media out of it now.
Oh.
With so many other parties at a Super Bowl now, you know, it's sort of had its day, but that was really, back in the day, one of the big ones.
Well, Larry, earlier I was talking about this, too, that if anyone in the media knew or had an inside track on it, it would be you, because I know you've stayed close with Adrian Peterson, and I mean, Larry certainly is. I'm sure he's friends with Adrian too. What's your take on this latest Cowboys news that Romo took a reduction in salary? He restructured his deal, so they now have $13 million in cap space more than they had yesterday. I think it sets things up for Adrian to go there.
Wow, you know, hey, you didn't hear the news that the Cardinals traded my son to the Vikings for Adrian Peterson?
Larry, if it wasn't for it was April 1st, I'd actually buy that. But you know what? If it's coming from you, let's go with it. Adrian Peterson, now a Cardinal. Larry Fitzgerald Jr., finally a Viking.
Yeah. You know, that's Tony Romo. He's a little late with that, right? Didn't they have a running back that ran for 1,800 yards last year, all pro?
Yeah, DeMarco Murray, and he apparently said he would have done that for him. He should have done it to keep him if he wanted to keep him.
Absolutely. He was perfect for that offense. But, you know, we're going to see how this thing plays out, as we both know, by Adrian Peterson through the NFL Players Association winning his appeal of the arbitrator's confirmation that he was suspended for 6 weeks by Commissioner Roger Goodell. By him winning that, even though the NFL has appealed it, it got Adrian back in the mix from a standpoint of being able to communicate and talk to the Vikings. And so since he's been talking to them, we've heard all types of stories. We've heard that the Vikings want him back.
Yep.
We've heard that teams that he would like to go to, that his agent is trying to get him released.
Including your son's team.
Exactly.
The Cardinals.
So we've heard all types of stories, and so here we are now to count down to April 15th, because by April 15th, basically it's tax day, but it's going to be a big day because of the fact that Adrian, regardless of the appeal situation, is going to be back activated, an active player.
That's a good
in the
point,
NFL.
Yep.
And so, at least if he has his meeting with the commissioner.
Yeah. Now, Larry took his, he did his restructuring. Who on that team can restructure to actually make room for Adrian Peterson? Is there no room that anyone could? They're all spread out pretty good, right? There's no big deal on that team, right? Because Larry helped them out a little bit this year, didn't he, in the offseason?
They've got Peterson, you know, the cornerback. He's all pro.
Yeah, Patrick, yep.
He just signed his deal, I think, last year.
So he's not going to redo his after a year.
And then the quarterback, you know, he did, I think he signed a $50 million deal, and then the next week tore his knee up.
Yeah, Palmer.
Yeah, so I think they did some reworking on that one in terms of the guaranteed money. But that's pretty much about it. But, you know, the Cardinals, like most teams, they always seem to say that they're financially strapped. But if you want somebody, you know, you can find a way to get it done.
Yeah, you definitely figure it out. Larry, you know what? We need to do this more regularly. I enjoy talking to you. And let's talk again next week. Now, when can people still, where do they go to get tickets for the Carol Fitzgerald Memorial Fund event?
Well, to reserve tickets, all you have to do is call 612-770-4575. And they'll take care of you. You know, we're going to have Ashley DeBow. She is a terrific talent. She won The Voice, and she's born and raised in this market. And she's going to perform for us. And obviously Larry with the red carpet, and many of his celebrity football friends and others from entertainment are going to be here. And so they can also go to my website, which is Larry-Fitzgerald.com. Just send an email that you plan on coming, and we'll get back to you, and we'll find a way to accommodate you, and we certainly appreciate it.
All right, Larry, we'll talk about this over the next week to make sure we can continue getting the word out. Larry Fitzgerald, well, you can catch Larry, as you said, Larry-Fitzgerald.com. You can read him there. You also can read, I mean, give him the websites and your Twitter so people can find you.
Oh, follow me at FitzBeatSR. You know, we try to keep up with, you know, the information that's out there. And
wait a minute, you're going with the SR, but I can't say Larry Fitzgerald Sr.?
Well, you know, it's actually sports writer with an R.
All right, I got you.
Okay.
That's pretty good. All right, well, follow Larry and check it out. And it is a great event, and you do great things with the funds that are raised. Larry, thanks a lot. We'll stay in touch. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
All right, take care. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to talk to our guy in Vegas, Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. Jim is taking a little vacation, but he's joining us. Also going to be joined, John Tower from St. Thomas, the basketball coach there. Also a psychology professor. He'll be joining us. We'll talk to John and Jim. Final Four. Jesus, only a few days away. Those national semifinals. Those are great games. Wisconsin against Kentucky. Michigan State, Duke. I picked Duke. One of our guests earlier picked Duke, Debbie Jones. She's got a little rooting interest in it. Tyus is the point guard on that team. So we will, we'll talk to Jim. We'll talk to John. We'll talk to you. 651-989-9105 if you want to join in. We'll be right back.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
If you put on 23, you put Jordan on your back. And that's what Zach LaVine did. He really lived up to the moment.
In one of the biggest stages in basketball.
Passionate sports talk on your sports station. 105 The Ticket.
We're back, and we're joined, well, on the line, Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. That's where you want to go to check out his podcast. Joined in studio, John Tower, coach of the St. Thomas men's basketball team, also a psychology professor at the U. And Jim, John, thank you for joining us. Jim, how's that vacation going?
Going pretty well. Saw Elton John the other night. You know, it's been a while since I've been here, and I've never been here before just as a tourist. I was always kind of around doing other business, and I might have said this to you yesterday. You know, they know how to take your money at the slots, but Now they know how to take your money everything you do, man. You don't go anywhere where they don't make you pull out a wallet. It's an amazing place.
Well, how was Elton John? That was last night, right?
It was Monday night.
Oh, it was? Okay.
And he was really good. You know, his voice sounds great. You know, he puts on a pretty good show. And now, listen, he's 70 years old. He's not, There's not a whole lot of physical activity going on, but he sounds good.
Now, John, do you play any Elton John at the Tommy's basketball practices or games?
Usually we let our guys pick the warm-up music, and as long as there's no expletives, it's okay with me. I don't understand.
Probably not a lot
of
Elton John.
No Elton John.
Now, I want to ask both of you about this, and Jim, you had the advantage of working in both markets, Dallas and here. I don't know if you saw what the Cowboys did today.
Yep.
Tony Romo restructured his deal.
Yep.
Coincidentally, it's about the same amount of cap space that he let up, the $13 million that it would take to bring Adrian Peterson, with the contract he has. I think this is getting closer to being done.
Well, it's funny. I was on the air with my buddy Tim Callishaw. Tim Callishaw and I covered the 1989. We covered the 1989 Dallas Cowboys together and remained friends over the years. I was on his radio show in Dallas yesterday, and they were, and I was pointing out that all the information we've gotten, all the interviews that have been done, all the source stories that have been done have indicated that the Vikings aren't necessarily trying to trade Peterson and that the Cowboys aren't necessarily interested in him. But all the facts, I keep saying, ever since last November, when you saw them give DeMarco Murray like 41 touches in a blowout victory at Chicago, ever since then, I've been saying this is just set up to happen. And now it seems even more set up to happen. All the facts, especially with Spielman, you got to believe take what he does as a bigger sign than anything he ever says. And the facts all line up that a deal could get done.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to happen. I mean, after that, they have the money now to afford him. And, John, obviously you're a basketball guy, but this seems pretty obvious.
Well, yeah, you don't have to be a genius to look at the pieces of the puzzle. And, in many ways, probably the Vikings, as good as Peterson's been, probably wouldn't mind entirely him going someplace else, and they spend their money elsewhere.
Well, I think that's what's going to happen. Now, both of you, Jim, we've talked to you a little bit about the Final Four coming up. Have you been able to... You have not gone into a sports book, because I know you don't gamble, but you did go, so you did put a bet down, or did you just go into the book?
I haven't put any bets down. I just wanted to see what they were like. I checked them out, and... I watched a little bit of spring training baseball and won. It's kind of a slow sports week, actually, for, midweek.
Yep.
But I kind of wanted to get a feel for what they were. And they ranged from the utterly cheesy with depressed 60-year-old guys sitting there betting their last $5 to some really cool upscale places where people have a good time.
Well, I don't know, John, have you been in the Vegas sports book?
Oh, many years ago. I was actually on vacation in the Bahamas this past weekend. So the NCAA doesn't allow us to wager. So I stay away from there. But, they're interesting places.
Well, what's amazing, it's like an assault on your senses.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's, in the one, the ones I've been in, you're talking two dozen screens of all of them huge, all of them with something else, a lot of horse racing on them. But it's, when you hear about the bright lights, if you go in there, they can't get any brighter than in some of these sports book looking at these TV screens.
Yeah, they've got all of them have like several big screens, and they have a bunch of smaller screens, and they have all the odds and all the different wagers you can place in bright lights. And then most of them also have seats with personalized TVs so you can tune into whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a degenerate, that is the place to be. This
sort of epitomizes sensory overload.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. It's a lot of people they do spend a lot of. Some people go there and they don't ever hit the tables. They just stay in there and bet. Just about every hour of the day, there's something you could be betting on because there's always a racetrack going. It seems starting on the East Coast.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And there's so many different prop bets. You can always invent something to bet. And you know what? I'm kind of kicking myself. I've been here a while now, and I'm a guitar guy, and I'm thinking there's got to be a pawn shop near me with, like, hugely discounted guitars from guys you know, people who come here gamble and have to sell something to pay their bills.
Well, I don't know if they'd be this place wouldn't be greatly discounted, but have you ever watched Pawn Stars?
Yes. Well, actually, I haven't. I've seen commercials, but I haven't actually watched the show.
Because I was kicking myself a little because I wanted to go to see it. You never see the people that are on it because they're, you know, I think they only go in now when they tape because they're
right.
Big shots. But I'd be curious to look in there because they do seem to have some great stuff there. But you're right. There must be some great pawn shops where you could get some kind of a decent deal on a guitar. But who goes to Vegas, though, to shop for a guitar?
Exactly. And I don't think I'm going to find the time to do it here this time. I'm actually going hiking up in the mountains on Friday. I'm looking forward to that.
Really? Looking forward to it? You know, the guy, he's still, since the day he was born, he's an athlete. Have you ever seen Jim? He's in great shape.
Just a pure athlete. Yeah, he's one of those guys you try and recruit, absolutely.
I'm an athlete except for the whole coordination and hand-eye coordination thing. You know, I think what you're trying to say is I'm skinny, which is very different from being an athlete.
No, you know what you are? You're sinewy.
Ooh.
Well, again, you also, you're still playing lacrosse, right?
No, God, no. I quit that in, I think, 92 or 93. I was playing for the Twin Cities Lacrosse Club, but when I started covering baseball, you can't do both. You can't spend all that time on the road for 9 months and then play lacrosse in the other months. It just didn't work.
Jim, you should have just went with it. It would have impressed the hell out of me.
The other thing is, I got to a certain age where, you know, you go to a tournament and you play four or five games in a weekend, and you can't walk till Wednesday. That got a little old.
Yeah, that'll get to you. There's no question about that. Jim, as always, we'll talk to you tomorrow. And now, I know you're doing some baseball. What is the latest podcast that's posted on SueAnnUnfiltered.com?
Yeah, we had some complications actually posting it properly. The Rob Anthony interview is now up. Terry Ryan is going to post later today, and then Mankiewicz will be probably on Friday.
And when's Russo sitting in for you this week, or did he already?
Our lines of communication have not been really clear on that one, but I'll tweet it out when I know, but I appreciate you asking.
All right, well, we'll talk to you tomorrow. You might have an update. Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. Jim, thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. See
all right, we'll talk to you tomorrow, and we'll come back and talk to John Tower, the coach of the St. Thomas basketball team and a psychology professor to you about the Final Four. I'm sure you have some thoughts about the games coming up, and I tell you what, I'm looking forward to them. I don't see how you can't, because they're both going to be pretty good national semifinals, I think.
Oh, you look at the four teams, the four coaches, the storylines. It sets up to be, I think, an amazing weekend of basketball.
Well, we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about that. Maybe throw in a threesome. We'll be right back.
From the locker room to your radio, tune in the Wake Up Call from the writers of Cold Omaha every Sunday morning at 8.
Wiggins would look great on a better team. We saw this because when this team was healthy for, three games, we noticed that Wiggins kind of fits in and that he's learning to assert himself, and that was the one big thing for him. And he's learned that he has to take over.
Forget the numbers, just eye test. Wiggins has been by far the best rookie. You might as well put a bow on it, mail him the award now.
The Wake Up Call with Cold Omaha on Minnesota's Sports Radio, 105 The Ticket. Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
We're back. Joined by John Tower, coach of the St. Thomas basketball team and also a psychology professor at the U. Now, John, is this spring break for St. Thomas now?
We're on spring break this week, yes.
How come the colleges never match up with spring breaks, though, do they? Because Jack Jablonski's at Southern Cal, his spring break was like a week or two ago.
Yeah, usually they go earlier. You know, at St. Thomas, if we can wrap it in with the Easter break,
that's the way to do it.
And that's what we'll do. But depending on where Easter falls, I think that, you know, that affects things for us. It's pretty late.
My kids are all on spring break this week, but I think Wayzata was last week, you know, and they're in Buffalo. So, I mean, even the high schools don't match up very well. But speaking of matchups, what do you think about this weekend? Who do you like? Do you like, can Wisconsin beat Kentucky?
Well, I'm a Badger fan. That's where I went for graduate school.
Yeah, that's why
I got my doctorate. So I'm biased. I think they can play with them. There's no question. When you look at Wisconsin, what they've done really over the last 2 years and how they played Kentucky last year, there's no reason they can't. I think the biggest challenge will be, you know, what Kaminsky and Decker and Nigel Hayes are able to do typically in the post. Kentucky's not going to have to help off shooters. They can play most of those guys straight up. And I really thought that was the difference last year, is Kaminsky had his way with Arizona, and then Kentucky just said, we're not leaving shooters.
Now, I'm thinking this as you're saying it, because I asked Hellboy and David Helmert and I talked about it earlier in the week. 6 seconds left on the clock, or 4 seconds, but 6 seconds, the Kentucky-Notre Dame game. Would you have your guy dribble a length of the court and just launch a pass? Aren't you looking for somebody to throw to? I was surprised that the kid took the ball the length of the court, ate up the entire 6 seconds, and then just threw up a shot that had no chance. And at the end of regulation with Michigan State,
in Louisville, they did, their kid did the same thing when they had a chance to win the game with 4 seconds left through a, you know, went from half court. Aren't you supposed to look for an open guy, or can't you get a guy open? Or is it just panic at that point?
Keep in mind, you're talking to the guy whose team was scored with 6 seconds left in the national tournament, and then Northwestern went down and hit a buzzer-beating three against us. So I had flashbacks watching that game against Notre Dame, because it really was, they scored and they did a good job getting back. Obviously, there are two strategies. One would be try and get the ball to half court, take a timeout. I don't think Notre Dame had one there. But you also want to get the ball in your playmaker's hands and get the best shot available. Now, where Kentucky is so tough is they've got that abundance of 6'10", yep, and 7-footers that, you know, really they just get big and get their hands up. And I think, at some point, I think Grant had the ball for Notre Dame. If he doesn't create an advantage, then nobody else was really open. So it was a busted play that, we can overanalyze that. I thought Notre Dame did a phenomenal job all game, and it was, and end of the game situations like that, that's why you don't want to be in those.
Well, that's why I'd probably drive, because 6 seconds, sometimes it's a lot of time. Other time, it's not nearly enough.
Oh, you can go end-to-end, certainly. Tyus Edney is probably one of the classic examples in the NCAA tournament back in 95 against Missouri, where he went, I think, at 4.5 seconds. But, it's also time to make 2 or 3 passes. And so in a situation like that, though, you really, I think, are hoping you can trust your players, your best player, to make a play. And I thought Grant forced a couple shots late in that game. But Notre Dame was, I think they certainly kind of gave the blueprint for how to beat Kentucky if a team's going to.
Now, you mentioned Tyus Edney, which made me think of Tyus Jones, which made me think of Trey Jones. His brother led Apple Valley to a state title. You were at those games. How good is Trey?
Well, I have to be careful because we can't comment on any high school
players. Oh, you can't talk to him at all.
We can't talk about any.
Never mind. He's a hell of a player. I'll say it for you. I didn't know if you could talk about how good he was. But let's just say, you can say that high school basketball is pretty good in Minnesota these days.
Oh, phenomenal games. And I think the quality of basketball is impressive. Some of that is the dedication the kids have. A lot is, the coaches do a phenomenal job. So it was a really fun year all the way around, very balanced, and the state tournament certainly was consistent with that.
And every year there are players that obviously can play with anyone in the country. I was in Jersey, where I think there maybe were more top players, but here, there are elite players every year coming out, or D1 caliber players going to good programs.
No question. And when you look over the last few years, probably was an exception when you had guys like Tyus Jones and Rashad Vaughn, and Reed Travis. But part of it too is there's only one Division I school in Minnesota, so you see a lot of these kids leave, and that's part of the challenge is how do you keep them in state.
Now, David here, Hellboy, as I call him, we have a threesome thing that I put it off the entire show. I'd like for him to just get in. You could both answer these questions. We'll do it quickly because we have a few minutes left here. You ready to hit it?
Attention, Bob. I have 3 questions for you. Number 1, if you were in charge of the Twins batting order, who would you hit for the first 4 spots?
Well, I don't have an issue with what they're doing. But I would have, right now, I would go with Santana, Dozier, Maurer, and I'd go with Torrey Hunter.
Like, that's the only thing that kind of throws me off a little bit, throwing Torrey Hunter and Trevor Plouffe as your mix and match 4 guys. When are you going to put somebody like Vargas in there? I know he wants the veteran right-handed stick right there, but
I think Vargas, if he's hitting early, he'll get in there. That's where he should be there. But initially, I want somebody that, and you're talking about Torrey, who was not batting. I mean, he wasn't batting fourth. Was he batting second when he was with Detroit, right?
He wasn't. Remember.
I don't think he was hitting fourth. I think he was much earlier in the lineup. Maybe he moved around a bit. Let's hear what else you got.
Number 2, with just 8 games left for the Timberwolves this season, would you just shut down all the injured players?
I'll let John say answer that one.
Well, I think at this time of the year, you do have to look at the risk-reward. Now, certainly the benefit is you got young guys like Wiggins and so many others who show promise, and I don't think you want to scrap that. But you also don't want, somebody like Rubio who has had injuries. At the end of the day, I think you got to continue trying to play and trying to develop your team because you want to go into the summer on a high note. These rookies have had a long, long year, and they need to have a taste of as much success as they can.
And Zach LaVine's benefiting from Rubio being hurt.
Yeah,
and that's, I don't think that's a bad thing at all. What do you got for number 3 there?
And finally, multiple NHL power rankings have placed the Minnesota Wild at the top of their list. Are the Wild the best team in the NHL?
Well, not a lot of them may have, but there's also, if you go to the odds, the way the odds have them, the Rangers and then the Blackhawks. Rangers are 12-1, Blackhawks are 15-2, and 14-1. The third team, and again, this is based on Bovada Sports, and this is how a lot of the sports books have them. The Wild are the third choice to do it. And some of them, I mean, they vary, but that's pretty much the order that a lot of them have it for the sports books. And those are the ones that generally, that's what I think what's going to count the most. But they have been playing well enough. I mean, I don't know. You've seen a lot of sports over the years, too. I've never seen a team left for dead and resurrect like they have.
It is truly amazing. And what, you know, the run they've been on, and obviously the goaltending is a huge part of it. But we talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's a catalyst for so many other things that all seem to start to fall into place, whether it's, you know, guys feel a little looser on offense. They're happier to be there. So it's, I think it promises to be a fun postseason run.
You know, it's easy for me to say, well, John, you should. But for one of your classes, because you are a psychology professor, when their season is over, it'd be great if you could bring in somebody from the Wild, a player or one of the coaches, to explain what they went through.
It would, because early in the year,
I'm sure they do it, too.
You look at some of the stuff that happened, and for them to bounce back is really a credit to all, you know, players and coaches alike.
It's an incredible story. We're going to, John, thank you so much. John Tower from St. Thomas, basketball coach and psychology professor there. Thank you to everyone who joined us today, starting with Debbie Jones, Tyus and Trey Jones' mom, softball coach Jessica Allister from the Gophers, Larry Fitzgerald, Pete Wagner and Al Newman, Jim Suhan, and we're going to turn things over. Superstar Mike Morris, Ben Holson are at Hubert's for the big game.
Wolves Wednesday.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's exciting. We'll be back with you. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks.
The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around?
Passionate Sports Talk, 105 The Ticket.